الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تتلقى الركبان وأن يبيع حاضر لباد قال فقلت لابن عباس رضي الله عنهما ما قوله حاضر لباد قال لا يكون له سمسارا قال لا يكون له سمسارا. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. He says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade going out and meeting the caravans, meaning those that are coming to town, traveling from outside of town, from the deserts and the likes. This ruling has preceded a few narrations past, and we have discussed the details with regards to this, alhamdulillah. وَأَنْ يَبِيعَ حَاضِرٌ لِبَادٍ. And likewise that he forbade as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the resident will sell on behalf of the desert Arab, meaning the one who's coming from out of town. And what is intended is that the resident, he will sell for the outcomer whenever he's coming from out of town to sell his goods. We have seen likewise in our previous classes some details with regards to this affair likewise. But here there's an addition, and he says qala, and the one who is stating this is Tawus bin Kaysan rahimahullah, from the tabi'in, from the students of Ibn Abbas. He says qultu li Ibn Abbas, and I said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, ma qawluhu hadirun libad. What does this mean? What is intended here from his statement? Hadirun libad. From his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadirun libad. The hadir is the person who lives in the city, the person who lives in the city, in town, and the lifestyle of those who live in the city. And as for the bad, then he's the one who lives in the badiyah. He's the one who lives in the desert. He's the one who lives in the desert. So we have seen these affairs and the rulings related to them, alhamdulillah. But here the addition is the interpretation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma for the meaning of this. He says, لا يكون له سمسارا. لا يكون له سمسارا. That he will not be a simsar. That he will not be a simsar for the desert. For the desert Bedouin who's coming from out of town. Or from the outcomer who's coming from out of town. Regardless whether he's from, what is intended. Is that the one who's coming from out of town to sell his goods and, you know, for the price of the day and to return and the likes like this, that the one who is a resident, he will not sell for him or on behalf of him and the likes. He will not sell for him, or he will not go to him and tell him, I will sell it for you, give me your items and I'll take care of it for you. Rather, he will let him sell it by himself. We have seen the rulings with regards to that. We have seen the rulings with regards to that, and that is permissible. Had the outcomer came and requested from a resident to handle his affairs for him, this is a different affair. But the point now is that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, لا يكون له سمسارا, that he will not be a simsar. And he meaning that he will not be a broker for him. That's the meaning of simsar. And a samsara is brokerage. Meaning the simsar is al-wasiyat. Al-wasiyat. Al-samsara al-wasata. Al-wisata. So this means that he's going to be a middleman. This means that he's going to be a middleman. So this narration here, it's explaining the narration that has preceded three narrations back. The narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Allah knows best, it's more suitable had it been mentioned along with that narration. For this reason, you find some of the scholars and their explanations of this work, they'll push this narration back and explain it along with the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, because it's specifically related to the issue of talaqi al-rukban, and likewise bay al-hadir libad. And it has the example, and it has the interpretation here clarifying that. That's the additional benefit from this narration. The issue of a samsara is discussed here, or is mentioned. So therefore we're going to touch on it briefly in our class today. The issue of a samsara, wal-ahkam al-shar'iyya mutaalliqa bi a samsara. The legislative rulings related to brokerage. The legislative rulings related to brokerage. So the people of knowledge, they clarify that the brokerage, this refers to mediating between two parties, any in buying and selling. So the two parties would be the buyer and the seller. A mediator would come between them to facilitate a transaction in exchange for a fee or commission. This is the simsar. And this is the job of the samsara, that he's going to mediate between the buyer and the seller to facilitate a transaction in exchange for a fee. In exchange for a fee, yani a wage. He's going to receive a wage for that or a commission. And he's going to do it for a price. He's going to earn money for his efforts. Also, it's known as a dilala. They call it samsara dilala. This person, he's going to lead the people to the items, or he's going to lead the items to the people. Either he's going to be helping the buyer, or he's going to be helping the seller. He can do it, the brokerage, for either one. He can work for the sellers to find people to buy, and he can also help the people who want to buy find the items. And all of this, again, is for a commission or for a wage. And it's considered lawful in Islam in general, so long as it's in accordance to the legislative principles. And from the evidence of that is that which has preceded in our previous classes, al-aslu fil buyu'i al-hillu wal-ibaha. The default ruling with regards to buying and selling is that it's lawful and permissible. And thus there is an aspect that is forbidden and clarified in the text and known or under a particular principle that is from the aspects of the forbidden transactions, then the default or original understanding is that these transactions, they are lawful. So like this, a samsara, again, it means brokerage, any meaning being a middleman, mediating between the two. So this is the principle that we had taken in our introductory classes, and it stands here, and we benefit from that knowledge, alhamdulillah. Likewise, in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Abu Dawood, in that narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-muslimuna ala shurutihim illa shartan ahalla haraman aw harrama halala. That the Muslims, they must uphold and abide by their conditions, except for a condition that would declare something haram to be permissible or something permissible to be haram. So the origin is if two Muslims, they make an agreement together and they set conditions or requirements, that they must uphold them. They must uphold them, and it's not allowed for them to violate those conditions and those requirements or agreements that they have come to terms with regards to. Al-Muslimuna ala shurutihim. The Muslims, they must abide by the conditions, meaning that they said amongst each other, illa shartan ahalla haraman aw harrama halala, except for a condition that would declare something haram to be halal or something halal to be haram. In this case, the condition would not be upheld. It would not be valid. Rather, it would be invalid and neglected, and it would not be upheld. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil-uqood. O you who believe, fulfill your contracts. So this ayat here and this narration, fulfill your contracts, وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ عَلَى شُرُوطِهِمْ, and the Muslims, they abide by their conditions. This is clear that if a man, he appointed somebody to take care of some of his business, either buying or selling on his behalf for a commission or for a percentage or for some wages and the likes like this, this is lawful for him to work in this manner. So long as he doesn't do anything that violates the laws or the principles, the laws of the legislation and the principles of buying and selling, So some of these conditions with regards to the permissibility of a samsara, shurut jawaz samsara, the conditions for the permissible brokerage. Number one, antakuna wasata fi amr mubah. That the samsara or the mediating will be in an affair that's permissible. The transaction must involve lawful goods and services. We're talking about what? A broker, he's a mediator. And initially, he has no money and no items for sale. Somebody who's the samsar, he has no money and no items for sale. You understand the issue? He's a broker. He doesn't have anything to sell, and he doesn't have anything to buy. He is a middleman. He comes between the buyer and the seller. Either on behalf of the buyer to find an item for him, or on behalf of the seller to find a customer for him. In any case, he's the middleman. So if he's going to be the middleman, if he's going to be a broker in the likes of these transactions, then the transaction must involve lawful goods and services. The transaction must involve lawful goods and services. فلا يجوز سمسرة في معاملات محرمة مثل بيع الخمر أو الربا. So it is not permissible to mediate in prohibited matters such as selling alcohol or engaging in usury. It's not permissible to be a middleman, or to be a broker in selling items that are forbidden or unlawful, or in helping provide services that are forbidden and unlawful. Likewise, from these conditions here, the people of Allah, as they mentioned, as-sidq wal-amana, a person, he must have honesty and transparency. He must be trustworthy and reliable in his mediation of this affair, and not be treacherous or dishonest in any manner. يجب على السمسار أن يكون آمينا ولا يغش ولا يخفي عيوب السلعة. That it is not permissible to mediate, that the broker must be trustworthy and should not deceive or hide defects in the goods. He must be trustworthy, he must be reliable, and in his word and in his dealings, and he must not deceive or hide any defects in the goods that are for sale, or the services and the likes like this. Also, al-wudu' al-ajr wal-umula. That the agreement must be clear. Clear agreement on the fees or commission. And however much the broker is going to make, this must be clear. The wages he will receive or the commission he will receive, this must be clear and stated directly and known and agreed upon between the two parties. يجب أن يحدد أجر السمسار بوضوح لتجنب النزاع. That is, the broker's fee must be specified and agreed upon to avoid disputes, in order to avoid disputes. So these are some of the conditions or requirements for the samsara to be correct, for the samsara to be legislated and lawful and to be valid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, in one of the most beautiful and concise verses, including so many different aspects of dealings and transactions. Allah, he says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And you must cooperate and work together upon piety and righteousness, and do not cooperate and work together upon sin and transgression. And fear Allah. And indeed Allah is severe in punishment. So those aspects that are lawful in business and trade, the believers, they'll cooperate upon that. And they will make money and earn a living and gain profit. Alhamdulillah. And partake in this worldly life and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla and that which is lawful. Establishing the deen and establishing the dunya. But as for those aspects that are considered sin or transgression, then a believer, he will not cooperate with that in any manner or any aspect. He will not have a hand in that whatsoever. He will not have a share in that whatsoever. Whether he will withhold from getting involved in anything that is considered sin and transgression, any sin, actions of disobedience and transgressing the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the rights of the people. A person, he will avoid and stay away from that. So he will not be a middleman in anything that's forbidden or unlawful. Rather, even if it's something that's doubtful, he's not sure about, he will not get involved likewise. Rather, he will ask the people of knowledge until it's clear for him so that he can advance upon business, upon insight, and upon light, and upon knowledge. And he can take care of his affairs in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla and avoid sin. So the next issue here we discuss al ajr ala as-samsara, any payment for the brokerage. Any person he's allowed to get paid. A person is going to get paid. يجوزه للسمسار أن يأخذ أجر مقابل عمله إذا كان معلوما ومتفقا عليه. That the broker is entitled to a fee for their services if it is agreed upon and clearly defined. If he's going to get paid his wages, or he's going to get paid a commission and the likes like this, but these affairs, they must be agreed upon and clearly defined. It's come in Sunan Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعْطُوا الْأَجِيرُ أَجَرَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجِفَّ عَرَقُهُ Give the worker their wages before their sweat dries. You should give the worker their wages before the sweat dries. So the simsar, the middleman, the broker here, he's putting an effort and he's working and he's performing a service. So he has a right to his wages that are agreed upon. So he has a right to his wages that are agreed upon. Here we emphasize the issue tahrim as-samsara fi al-muharramat. Tahrim as-samsara fi al-muharramat. That is the prohibition of brokerage, being a middleman in prohibited matters. It's not allowed, again, to get involved in these affairs. يُحْرَمُ عَلَى السِّمْسَارِ أَنْ يَتَوَسَّطَ فِي مُعَامَلَاتِ مُحَرَّمَةٍ شَرْعًا. That is, a broker is not allowed, is forbidden, prohibited from to mediate in prohibition in prohibited transactions. To mediate in prohibited transactions, any transactions that are considered forbidden legislatively, it's not allowed. And from the evidences of that is the noble verse that we had just mentioned previously. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And cooperate and help one another in righteousness and piety, and do not cooperate and help one another in sin and in transgression. In sin and in transgression. And there are rights here that the samsar, he must observe. Any rights of iman and rights of faith, and he must be honest and responsible in providing accurate information. And he must not engage in any deceit or any deception to cause any harm to either party. And if they were to do that, then they're considered sinful and they're liable for their damages. And in the person, he's a middleman, he must be honest. He must be truthful. As-simsar mas'urun an sihhati al-ma'lumat alati yuqaddimuha. And in the person who is being the mediator, the broker, he's going to give information about an item or information about a cost, so on and so forth. He must be honest and truthful in that. He must be honest and truthful in that. And it's not allowed. It's not allowed for him to deceive or to trick or to misuse or exploit a person's ignorance of the circumstances in the likes like this, whether he will be considered sinful, whether he will be considered sinful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise, if he's exposed, then he will be liable. Then he will be liable to rectify that which he deceived and that which he had corrupted. إِذَا تَعَمَّدَ الْغِشْ أَوْ الْإِضْرَارُ بِأَحَدِ الْأَطْرَافِ يَكُونُ آثِمًا وَضَامِنًا لِلْضَرَارِ يَكُونُ آثِمًا وَضَامِنًا لِلْضَرَارِ. If the broker, the middleman, if he engages in deceit or causes harm to any party, if he causes harm to any party, then they are considered sinful and liable for the damages. They're considered sinful and liable for the damages. So the people of Nadas, likewise, they mention a number of conditions as well for the contract to be considered valid. For the contract to be considered valid, shurut aqd as-samsara. شروط عقد السمسارة, the conditions for the contract of brokerage to be considered valid. And number one, التراضي بين الأطراف, that there must be mutual consent. This is also a condition in every buying and every business contract, as we have seen in our previous classes. يجب أن يتم العقد بموافقة جميع الأطراف, that the contract must be agreed upon by all parties. By all parties, we have a middleman here. We have a middleman here, so he must make sure that all parties agree on the items and the cost of the items and services, and everything is clear. And everything is clear, and everyone has mutual consent with regards to this. Also, تحديد العمولة. تحديد العمولة. العمولة, يعني the commission must be specified. The commission or the amount that he is earning must be specified. ينبغي أن تكون العمولة أو الأجر معلوماً وواضحاً, that the fee or commission must be clearly defined. The fee or the commission for the broker must be clearly defined. You can't say, oh, just do this and then we'll talk about it later, or we'll just take care of business and then we'll figure it out later. I'll give you a good portion. We're brothers, don't worry about it, like some they do. The likes like this, lad, this is not the proper manner. Rather, this is a business transaction and it must be clear. There cannot be any jahada or gharar in these affairs that would lead to disputes, or lead to falling out, or lead to problems or misunderstandings and the likes like this. So this is a contract here between the middleman and the one he's working for. So these contracts, they must be clear. These contracts, they must be clear. Likewise, موافقات الشرع يعني أن يكون موضوع السمسار مشروعا. The compliance must be in compliance with the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The subject of the brokerage must be lawful. والوفاء بالتزامات. الوفاء بالتزامات, and السمسار ملزم بتنفيذ ما تم الاتفاق عليه بصدق وأمانة, that the broker, he must fulfill the obligations, He is required to fulfill the obligations, and in many he must carry out his duties with honesty and diligence. With honesty and diligence. With honesty and diligence. So now we discuss the issue of the wisdom of the legislation of this law here. Al-hikmatu min mashru'iyyati as-samsara. Al-hikmatu min mashru'iyyati samsara. The wisdom behind the permissibility of brokerage. This is from the permissible and lawful affairs that Allah has allowed for the people to partake in. So no doubt there's great wisdom and benefit behind that, because that which Allah He legislates upon supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first aspect is taysirul mu'amalat tijariyah, facilitating trade and commerce. Facilitating trade and commerce. This makes it easy for trade and commerce, and for people to benefit and to profit and to make money and to bargain and to trade. As-samsara tusa'idu ala tasheel al-wusuli ila sila'i wal-khadamat. That brokerage helps individuals and businesses find goods and services more effectively. Brokerage, and you having a broker or the middleman and the likes like this, maybe sometimes people are busy, or maybe sometimes people, they don't have lots of knowledge of the circumstance, or other reasons that a person, he will need a middleman. He will need a middleman to take care of his business. Maybe he might have knowledge or the ability to do it, but he's busy, so he'll let somebody else to take care of it. He'll pay somebody else a commission or a wage to handle this particular business for him because he's got his hands full, for example. Or other reasons likewise that could come about for the people who are engaged in business and trade, that he will need a middleman to help him take care of this business, either buying or selling. Either buying or selling. So brokerage helps individuals and business, helps individuals and businesses find goods and services more effectively. Another aspect of the wisdom is تحقيق النفع المتبادل. تحقيق النفع المتبادل. يعني bringing about mutual benefit. Bringing about mutual benefit. يستفيد البائع من زيادة فرص البيع والمشتري من العثور على السلعة المناسبة. That the sellers that benefit from increased sales opportunities, while buyers they find suitable goods and services. The sellers, they benefit from increased sales opportunities. Maybe a person, he sells and he's doing very well in his business, but he could actually do more. He could actually do more, but he doesn't have enough hands, like was previously mentioned. So now he will ask somebody to help him and pay him to also sell his services and goods and the likes like this. So now it would help him find sales opportunities. Now he has somebody else working along with him and he's paying him his wages or his commission. Likewise, on the other hand, the buyers, they find suitable goods and services. Maybe not everybody is able to come across the items that they're looking for so easy. I mean, not everybody knows the markets and what's going on in the markets and what's available in the markets and what's not available in the markets and the like like this. And some people, they're very experienced in that. So by having this legislation, it makes it easy for people to find suitable goods and services. Suitable goods and services. Also from the wisdom, إِجَادُ فُرَسِ عَمَلٍ is providing lawful income. Providing lawful income. SubhanAllah. Look how complete the legislation of Allah is and the benefits that come about by learning it and abiding by it. السَّمْسَرَ تُعَدُّ مَصْدَرُ رِزْقٍ مَشْرُوعٍ لِمَنْ يَعْمَلُ فِيهَا وَفْقَ الضَّوَابِطِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ السَّمْسَرَ تُعَدُّ مَصْدَرُ مصدر رزق مشروع لمن يعمل فيها وفق الضوابط الشرعية. Providing lawful income. Brokerage offers a legitimate source of livelihood for brokers who adhere to Islamic guidelines. Brokerage offers legitimate source of livelihood for brokers who adhere to Islamic guidelines. Some أمثلة على السمسرة المباحة. Some examples of permissible brokerage. الوساطة في بيع الأقارات مقابل عمولة. مقابل عمولة. Mediating in the sales of real estate in exchange for commission. Maybe there's people, they own properties, but they're not able to go out and find buyers. So they will have brokers who will find buyers for them and they will mediate the selling of these properties for in exchange for a commission. In exchange for a commission. So this is something that's beneficial. Also, التواصل بين الشركات لتوفير خدمات أو سلع مشروعة. Also, facilitating contracts between companies for lawful goods and services, for lawful goods and services. Any person, he's going to facilitate contracts between companies and people for lawful goods and services. This is allowed. This is allowed so long as it's lawful, so long as it's in accordance with these previous principles that we have discussed, and also with the previous guidelines that we have discussed as well in the conditions of buying and selling. One that's important to mention here from the statement of Hakim ibn Hizam, from the hadith of Hakim ibn Hizam, وَلَا تَبِعْ مَا لَيْسَ عِنْدِكَ. Do not sell that which you do not have. So the middleman is not going to be selling things he doesn't own, or he doesn't have the right to own. Rather, he's going to be a middleman, meaning he's going to be appointed by the owner of the items, and they're going to have a contract that he's going to receive a particular wage or receive a particular commission, and then he's going to work in this manner like this. Not that he's just going to go find people who have stuff and then find people who want to buy stuff and get in between them and work like this and freely, and work like this freely without any contracts, without any restrictions, or without any regulations. This is not permissible unless he gets the item in his hand. If he gets the item in his hand, or if he gets permission from the owner of the item to sell it, so on and so forth, that's another issue. But the previous principles that we had discussed, particularly the conditions for selling, for buying, the conditions for buying and selling, they must be present in all contracts. They must be present in all contracts. From them, the contract of samsara. Al-wasata fi tawdhifi idha kanat al-wadha'if mubaha. Assisting in job placements, providing the jobs are permissible. This is another example of brokerage, that in common modern day example of samsara, that a person, he will work for companies to provide them employees for commission or for wages, So all of this is from the complete encompassing legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, how it is proper and correct and beneficial for all places in all times. Tanzeelun min Hakimin Hamid, a revelation from the All-Wise and the All-Praiseworthy Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. After this, the author says, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المزادنة أن يبيع ثمر حائطه إن كان نخلا بتمر كيلا وإن كان كرما أن يبيعه زبيبا كيلا أو كان زرعا أن يبيعه بكيل طعام نهى عن ذلك كله The author, he mentioned now the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade al-muzabana. Al-muzabana is a type of transaction that's being clarified here, and it has to do with agriculture and farming. He says, selling the fruits of one's orchard, and if it's palm trees, the dates and the likes, in exchange for a measured amount of dried dates. Or selling grapes from a vineyard in exchange for a measured amount of raisins. Or selling unharvested crops in exchange for a measured amount of food grains. He prohibited all such actions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-muzabana is min, his word here is derived from a zabin. And a zabin huwa ad-daf'u ash-shadid. Ad-daf'u ash-shadid, to repel or to push something severely. So the one who is making this contract or doing this business, it's like he's trying to push the other one away from his right. So here is mentioned the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an al-muzabana. He forbade al-muzabana. And then the clarification comes. And yabi'a thamara ha'itihi, that he will sell the fruits of his ha'it. The ha'it, what that means here, bustan. Bustan. This is from the beauty of the Arabic language. The word ha'it, many times it means the wall. Right? The word ha'it, it means the wall. Here it means bustan. A bustan is a fruit garden. A garden with fruits, fruit trees and plants and the likes like this. So the plural is hawa'it, but it means bustan. أن يبيع ثمر حائطه and إن كان نخلا بتمر كيلا إن كان نخلا بتمر كيلا what if it was that he would sell the fruits of his garden the fruits of his garden any of the trees in his garden the fruits that are produced from that any of the crops and if it is date palms then it will be four dried up dates measured dried up dates measured so there will be fresh dates in the tree and there will be dried dates in the hand fresh dates in the tree and the owner of the garden and dried dates in the hand of a man who wants to do business and a man who wants to purchase and a man who wants to purchase so this is forbidden to purchase the dates in the tree for dates that are dried up on the ground the fresh dates in the tree for cut dried dates even if they're not in the tree and they're down it's not allowed to sell them as well the fresh ones for the dry ones this is what is being discussed here when can a karman and yabi'uhu bi zabibin kaylan and if his bustan if his orchard or his fruit garden is grapes that he will sell them for measured raisins so the grapes they'll be fresh on the tree on the vineyards and then somebody who will have the raisins the dried grapes and he'll want to exchange I'll give you this amount of dried grapes any raisins for this amount of fresh grapes on the tree or even if they're taken from the tree the fresh for the dry this is not lawful أو كان زرعاً or if it is zar or if it is zar if it is zar if it is crops or if it is crops أن يبيعه بكيل طعام that he will sell it for dried grains that he will sell it for dried grains so whether the items that are for sale are date trees or whether they're grapevines or whether they're grains the fresh ones cannot be sold for the dry ones and then he says naha an dhalika kullihi the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he forbade all of that so the subject now is an-nahy wa bai' al-akhdar bil yabis al-akhdar bil yabis min jinsihi and the maqsood is bai' al-ma'lumi bil majhuri min jinsihi bai' al-ma'lum bil majhuri bi jinsihi here there's a prohibition of selling the fresh fruits for the dry fruits or the fresh grains for the dry grains the fresh crops for the dry crops that are the same that are from the same type and again also this includes any even in a more general sense to sell something that is known for something that's unknown from the same type of thing what is intended here is the food we're discussing food and the food items many of them they have riba in them so dates for example directly have riba in them there's no doubt about that and also we see here as well included in that because it has the same ruling from this narration likewise the grapes and also here these crops as well sha'ir and bur these things they have riba in them they have riba does not run in every item for sale but it runs in certain items from those items there are items like gold and silver no doubt about that there's riba in that also it runs in food items so this is something to take note because there cannot be any increase if you sell one for the other they have to be exactly the same whenever they're from the same type as for if there are these items but they're different then it's allowed for the prices or the amounts to vary so long as it's hand in hand these details they will come inshallah in the chapter of riba whenever we discuss that but now it's being mentioned so we have to have some insight to the affair to understand the aspect of this prohibition because now we have dates some of them are fresh and others they're dry some of them are fresh and others they're dry so the fresh ones whenever they're dry they don't weigh the same so the weight of the dry ones and the weight of the fresh ones there's no way to identify that There's no way to equally identify that. You can weigh this one and weigh that one, but you don't know, are they exactly the same or not? Because when these dry, they're going to decrease in weight. They're going to decrease in weight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Hala rutabi idha jaffa naqas?" And they said, yes. He said, "Fala idhan." Fala idhan. He says, do the moist dates, when they dry, do they get lighter? They said, yes, of course. He said, no, you can't do that. You cannot sell it any like this, one for the other. One for the other. In Sahih Muslim, there's a hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Al-dhahabu bil-dhahab," gold for gold, "wal-fidda bil-fidda," and silver for silver, "wal-burr bil-burr," and barley for barley, "wal-sha'ir bil-sha'ir," and wheat for wheat, "wal-tamr bil-tamr," and dates for dates, "wal-milh bil-milh," and salt for salt, "mithlan bi-mithlan," "sawa'an bi-sawa'an." They must, when you sell these two items together, if you sell gold for gold, silver for silver, you sell gold for gold, or silver for silver, or if you sell wheat for wheat, or barley for barley, or dates for dates, or salt for salt, then these things, mithlan bi mithlan, you must sell them the exact same amount. They must, you can't sell a pound of dates for 2 pounds of dates. Even if the 1 pound of dates is better in quality than the 2 pounds, you cannot do this. They have to be same for same, because dates and dates, they have usury in them. You cannot have an increase. They must be sold same and exactly the same amount. And also yadin bi yadin, hand in hand, meaning the contract has to go down at that moment. The exchange must happen hand in hand. They must be exactly the same amount, and the exchange must take place at the time of the contract. There can be no delayed payment. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fi ikhtalafa hadhihi al-asnaf." فَبِئُوا كَيْفَ شِئْتُمْ إِذَا كَانَ يَدٍ بِيَدٍ. And if these categories here, they differ, then sell them as you like, so long as it's hand in hand. So that means, for example, if you buy wheat for gold, it doesn't have to be the same, right? Or if you buy gold with silver, it doesn't have to be the same, but it has to be hand in hand. If you buy gold for gold, it has to be the exact same amount and hand in hand. But if you buy gold with silver, then it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but it has to be hand in hand. If you buy dates for dates, it has to be exactly the same hand in hand, regardless of the type of dates. If you buy dates for barley, it doesn't have to be the exact same amount. The amount can differ, but it has to be hand in hand, because these items, they have usury in them. Because these items, they have riba. Yani these are yani min al-asnaf al-ribawiyyah. So gold and silver, it has riba in it because of the value. It's value and it's used as commerce. And this is the widespread circulating item used for money and used for wealth and value, gold and silver. So taking the place of that is dollars and riyals and likes the paper money, because this is al-athman ra'ija. This is the costs that are circulating, that the people they rely on to purchase things that they need. So these things they have riba in them. And likewise, these items of food here that are mentioned specifically, no doubt these have riba in them. Also every other item as well, that's a food item that is weighed or measured with a kilo, either by the scale, by the wezen or the kilo. Also, if it's a food item, it has riba in it. Like here mentioning the karm and the zabib, which is the grapes and the raisins. So therefore, since these items here, they're from al-asnaf al-ribawiyyah, from the categories of items that riba runs in them, they cannot be sold unless you know the exact amount of each one of them. You understand this? In order to sell these, you want to sell dates for dates, you must know the amount of each side, and they must equal. They must be equal, and then you can sell them. Even if there's a, for example, dates that are very good and valuable, high quality and valuable, and there are some that are lesser in value. This happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man, he came with some janib and he some very good dates, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullu tamr khaybar hakatha." Is Khaybar, the dates of Khaybar, all of them are like this? And all of them are this high quality? He said, no. We buy one saw of this with two saw of ours. Two saw of this with three saw of ours. And so he's saying, no, we have to, for example, sa, we just say pounds, right? Or a sa is what? 3 kilos, huh? Something like this. We just say a pound, so that it's clear in our minds. He sells he'll buy the good ones, 1 pound of the good ones, he'll pay 2 pounds of lesser quality. He'll buy 2 pounds of the good quality, but with 3 pounds of a lesser quality. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, no, you cannot do this. This is riba. He said, what you have to do is you sell the lesser quality for money, for dinar or dirham, and then you take the money and then you buy those. You take the money and you buy those. Why? Because dates have interest in them. The dates have usury in them. The dates have riba in them. You cannot sell them except if they are the exact same amount. Exact same amount. So now we go back to the narration and we see the issue here that if you have the fresh dates in the tree or even fresh dates on the ground for the dried dates, you are able to identify the exact amount that's being sold of each one. So here the people of knowledge, they derive a very beneficial principle in the chapter of al-riba, in the chapter of usury, and it states al-jahlu bit-tamathul كالعلم بالتفاضل الجهل بالتماثل كالعلم بالتفاضل. So التفاضل, it means that if you know this one is more, if you know for sure, for example, this is 1 pound and this is 2 pounds, you know that there's تفاضل, here there's an increase, there's an addition, and this is where interest comes from. This is the issue of usury, interest. You know, I'll give you 100, you pay me back 150, right? That's called تفاضل, that's فضل. There's an increase there. So these items here that you can't have an increase. If there's an increase there, then it's clearly haram, as we just discussed. He wants to sell 1 pound of dates for 2 pounds of dates. 1 pound of good dates for 2 pounds of lesser quality dates. This is haram. Why? Because there's interest there. There's an addition here, an extra pound. You understand that? So if this is known, it's clearly haram, and it's clearly considered riba, usury. But if it's not known that they're same, the fact that they're equivalent is unknown, this has the same ruling as had it been known that there's an addition. That's the meaning. Had it been known that there's an addition. Yani ignorance, being ignorant of the equivalent of two things is like having knowledge of its disparity. The ignorance, having ignorance of things being equivalent is like one knowing with certainty that this one has extra. That this one has extra. If you know this one has extra, this haram. For example, this one is 2 pounds, this one is 1 pound. We know this is extra, so therefore it's haram. This one is around 1 pound, this one is around 1 pound, but we don't know for sure. So we're not able to identify exactly that they're equivalent. So this unknown factor here has the same ruling as had we known that it had extra. You understand this? Everybody got me? This is this principle is al-jahlu bit-tamathul kal-ilmi bi-atafadul. Al-jahlu bit-tamathul, or sometimes they say al-jahlu bit-tasawi kal-ilmi bit-tafadul. Kal-ilmi bit-tafadul. So in the chapter of riba, if it's known that the items have extra and they're interest-based items or usury-based items, it's not allowed. That extra amount is not allowed. This is forbidden. That's haram, riba. But in a circumstance, whenever it's not known that there's an addition, but the fact that their equivalent is not identified, also this is riba and not allowed. Also, this is the same as that. In the legislation, this one is the same as that one. They're both riba from the major sins. So it's clear now the reason for the prohibition. It's clear now the reason for the prohibition of this affair, because number one, there's riba, but also because of al-gharar wal-jahada. Al-gharar wal-jahada, this type of transaction involves uncertainty. It involves uncertainty because neither the seller nor the buyer can guarantee that the fruits on the tree or the fresh fruits are equivalent in value or quantity to what is being exchanged for them. Person, if he has fruits in the tree, crops on the stalk, and then dried grains or dried fruits of the same type, they're not able to identify the quality and the quantity of these items, any that they're equivalent. that are equivalent. So possibly there's going to be an injustice there. This leads to ambiguity and potential injustice in transaction, which contradicts the principles of fairness and justice in Islamic law. In Islamic law, نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك كله. The Prophet, he forbade all of that. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade all of that because of what it consists of, غرر and جهالة, and also what it consists of, ريبة والعياذ بالله, and what it leads to of injustice and wrongdoing and oppression, and also problems and disputes, also problems and disputes. Also al-hikmah min al-nahi, the wisdom behind the prohibition, himaya, from that there's a number of points. Himayatu ta'amulat al-maliyah min al-dhulm, protecting financial transactions from injustice. Protecting financial transactions from injustice. وَمَنْعُ اِسْتِغْلَالْ حَاجَةِ النَّاسِ أَوْ جَهْلِهِمْ, preventing exploitation of people's needs or ignorance. وَضَمَانْ تَحْقِيقَ الْعَدَالَةِ فِي الْبَيْءِ وَالشَّرَاءِ, and ensuring fairness in buying and selling. Ensuring fairness in buying and selling. And you may be a person who finds himself in need, one or the other. So that's why he will go ahead and take a loss. He wants to get rid of what he has, or the ones in the tree, he wants to go ahead and take care of it now because he doesn't know if something's going to happen to them, or whatever the case, he's in a need, so now he's ready to just get whatever he can for it and to lose out. So a person, now he's going to come up. So all of this is forbidden because of what it leads to, people taking advantage of others and the likes like this, and a lack of fairness and buying and selling. So therefore it's forbidden, along with the other aspects that we have discussed, along with the other aspects that we have discussed. So this is forbidden. Alhamdulillah, this transaction here in this narration highlights Islam's emphasis. The emphasis Islam, the legislation, this hadith highlights the emphasis of the Islamic legislation places on fairness and dealings and the prevention of practices that may lead to disputes or deceit, or taking advantage of others' rights. Taking advantage of others' rights. After this, the author says, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أنه قال نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المخاضرة والمحاقلة وعن المزابنة وعن بيع الثمرة حتى يبدو صلاحها وأن لا تباع إلا بالدينار والدرهم إلا الأرايا. The author says, المحاقلة بيع الحنطة في سنبولها بحنطة, بيع الحنطة في سنبولها بحنطة. After this, the author mentions the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade al-mukhabara and al-muhaqala and al-muzabana. That the Prophet, he forbade these three types of transactions. All of these are also transactions. Some of them are similar to some of them. One of them is that which is mentioned previously, and also one of them is an aspect of that, and another one is also another aspect of farming. Farming and agriculture. Al-mukhabara, al-muhaqala, al-muzabana. And also he forbade selling the fruits or the crops before they become ripened and ready for consumption, or that appears, that the goodness appears in them. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they should not be sold except for with the dinar or the dirham, any with gold or silver, except with monetary money. They shouldn't be sold by cash with money. Illa al araya, except for al araya. Al araya is a type of dealing that is permissible and is an exception from these affairs. All of these transactions, inshallah, they will come in our next class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. He says, al muhaqqala bay'ul himta fi sumbuliha. Bihanta, and al muhaqala is to sell the wheat on its stalk for dry grains. This is the same one that was previously mentioned. And o kana zar'an and yabi'u bi kaydi ta'am. Kana zar'an yabi'u bi kaydi ta'am. So we take this narration in our class to come, inshallah. The details with regards to that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.